But maybe we'll just ask the Lord just for help in the meeting. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity. Lord, we thank you for all the young people in the meeting, Lord. Lord, help me, Lord. Please help me to be a blessing, Lord, and even touch their lives, Lord. Help me just to talk about the work, Lord, and just to be a blessing, Lord, to each and every person here. Lord, we love you. Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, that many years ago, Lord, you died on the cross for each and every one of us. Lord, if there's any in the meeting, Lord, and they're not saved, they don't know they're going to heaven, they're not 100% sure, Lord, we pray that you would move in their hearts, and Lord, that they would realize their need of a wonderful Savior. Bless now, help me in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I grew up in the Free Presbyterian Church. I grew up in Market Hill, outside of Armagh. And that was where I grew up, and I attended meetings like this, in little halls like this, and it brought a lot of memories back, these little pews. As I was telling our brother who led the meeting, I forgot your name, brother. Jimmy. Are you Jimmy? You're not Jimmy at all. Yes, well, you know, well, may the Lord punish you greatly for that. I was telling him about these pews, that there's a pastor I know out in the Philippines, and he has pews like this, but no backs on them. No back at all. It's just a little bench, and it keeps everybody awake in church. Nobody cowps back to the person behind them. But that was it. No, I grew up in the church there in Mullaglass, and I attended the meetings. I attended the little children's meetings, and at the age of 7 years of age, there was a man preaching, and it was Mr. Paisley was preaching on hell, and I was only 7 years of age, and I went home that night, and my mum and dad led me to the Lord. And I enjoyed coming to the meetings. I enjoyed going to all the meetings that were going on. I am in primary school. I was very, very quiet. And up into high school, very quiet person. Would never have, if we had answer in class and raise our hands, I'd never, ever, ever would I lift my hand up. Or if you ever had to read and give a report in English, no way, I'd rather get an F than to stand up in front of people. And I remember there was one time in the English class, and the teacher said, you have to stand up and give a report. Everybody has to know. I would not indeed. I'd rather go to the principal. And in those days, you had to hold your hand out. And he wasn't giving you a high five. He wasn't doing that. Remember getting caught one time in class. Now, the whole class, we were throwing rubbers. The whole class was doing it. We were throwing rubbers. It wasn't only me, but the teacher caught me and an odd boy. And we had to go over to the headmaster. And he pulled out his cane, and you had to hold your hand out. And he whipped them 10 times. And I never threw another rubber in class ever again. But that was the good thing about school in those days. That's what happens to all you young people now. There's no like that. And that's what you need here. If you're not behaving. But anyway, I went on through school. I never really liked school. I remember being there one time, and there was a substitute teacher. And those were the best, because they didn't know what they were doing. And I remember one day with our form teacher, the guy I was with, I was sitting beside him, he noticed that the fire extinguisher had the pin hanging out of it. And he was that brainy, he thought he would get up and put the pin in. And the teacher ran down, our form teacher, Mrs. Norris, ran down, no, 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 don't touch it. And he pulled the trigger on our teacher. But it was a real good day. But there was an odd day in the English class, and we were there, and we had to read a page of a book. And I was thinking, how in the world am I going to get out of this reading a page of a book? Now, you know, I have a problem with my speech, and I have. But back then, it was a whole lot worse. No way am I reading a page. And it was coming up near my turn. I got up, I went over to the teacher. I said, "Miss, I have an awful sore ear." And she said, "Oh, that's okay, Gareth, you go to the nurse." So I goes off to the nurse and I gets the medicine for my imaginary sore ear. I came back, I took the medicine. I was feeling very chuffed. And the boy behind, I walked into the class and the boy behind me was still reading. It was my turn to read next. So I never got out of it at all. But that was it. But on after high school, I served my time as an electrician. And I enjoyed, as I said, I was involved with the church and the youth of the church and everything. And I really did, I enjoyed, you know, growing up in the church. I never got involved in the world. After I was, after high school and I was working on that, I became friends with a couple of other lads. And these were both brethren lads. And we would attend all the Saturday night meetings and the after church rallies and everything. And it wasn't until a couple of years after that there, and I was already in America in college, that one of the guys, he came to me and he told me this. He says, "Gareth, you know, whenever we were running about and we were going to the meetings," he said, "during the week I was in the pub and I didn't even know it." And, you know, it just kind of showed me, you know, you don't really know what people are up to. And but after that there, I was in a meeting in the Martyrs Memorial down in Belfast. I was maybe about 18 at the time. And I was at the missionary meeting. And I was attending there, or I was at the meeting, and there was a man preaching from America. His name was Dr. Giler. And while he was preaching, he was talking about Christians giving their lives over to the Lord. And that night, he made an appeal. And I went up and I gave my life over to the Lord. But the week earlier than that, a couple of days before that meeting, or maybe about a week before it, it was as if the devil knew I was going to go to that meeting. Because I was at, there was a birthday party that I was at in Belfast. At the university, there was somebody at the university down there that I knew, and I was at a birthday party. And then they said, "Sure, come on over, there's another party on over this other building." And there'd be all these other people there that I knew, and these were Christians as well. And I walked in, and I had never been in a place like it. It was basically a bar. And these were you know, people of the world, people who weren't Christians, people who were Christians. And they were drinking and drinking away. And I was looking around and I was going, "Is this their happiness?" And it was as if the devil was like nearly teasing me. "Here, Gareth, you could be a part of this here." But I had no desire for it at all. And I really thank the Lord that he didn't give me the desire. And it was just like about the week later that I was in the meeting and the Lord called me. And you know, the devil is real, especially when you're younger. Well, he's real all the time. But he will do everything that he can as you get older. And this wee meeting is still going on. The devil will get you. "Ah, you're too big to go there. What in the world would you go there for? Your mates will laugh at you." You remember that the devil is trying to get you. And he wants you into the world. But it was in that meeting then that I gave my life over to the Lord. Now, I never dreamt that the Lord would want me to be a preacher. Believe me, never in a million years. I was involved with the building trade. I was an electrician. I thought maybe the Lord would have me build, you know, missionaries' houses and churches. And I would have been very, very happy doing that. But the Lord had other plans. And then after a couple of years, this is back in 95. And I know, I told that 95 now, you know, I'm old. And I am old. I know I don't look it, but I am old. You're supposed to laugh at that there, people. It used to work. It used to work when I told that, everybody would, "Ha, ha, ha." But now they don't. Now they said, "You fool, don't say that again." And but anyway, I still think I look young. So I was going to say something about our brother there because he was nasty at me. But I'll not. I'll just only fix my hair. But In the Philippines, I remember, if you know the Reverend McMillan and Arma, he has lost his hair on top as well. And they were, but in the Philippines, they joke a lot, and they were calling him Top Gun and Calibo and all the rest of it. But there's a balut. Have you ever heard of balut? Balut is aborted duck egg. It's half-formed duck egg. And whenever Reverend McMillan was there, and we said, you have to eat this here. Everybody comes to the Philippines has to eat that. And I took a picture as he was eating it. And in the picture, my dad is just behind him. My dad has her. And it looks as if whenever he just eat it, he all of a sudden had a head of her. And but it doesn't work like that, brother. I'm sorry. And but anyway, no, don't worry. I'm only teasing. I get enough teasing as it is. But anyway, I went to America. I went to college. The Lord called me over there. I had a real peace about going over there. And I really loved my time in America. I was the only one from Northern Ireland there. We had maybe 50 young people from around the world. Syria, Israel, Egypt, Africa, Dominican Republic, the Ukraine, everywhere. The Philippines and I don't know where else, but we were all there. And of course, America. And we really did love our time there. It was out there whenever I met my wife, Lorelei. And Lorelei was, she was 4 years in America before I arrived. And then we got married. And then we were coming up on the graduation time. And we were praying about what the Lord would have us do. And during the time I was in college, we had the opportunity of visiting the Philippines. And the Philippines, there's a population now of over 100 million. And there's lots of people everywhere. And so it was a real wonderful place, you know, to go over to. And but while I was there, we had the opportunity. My brother-in-law out there is a pastor in Manila. And they would say that Manila is the most densely populated capital in the world. There could be 10 million people on the move in Manila. And it's a very crazy place now whenever you get off the airplane. But he took us around the different, you know, churches. And the churches that I had grown up in, there was gospel tracts. There was verses on the walls. If anybody here needs a Bible, there's he'll get you a Bible. But the churches that we were visiting, they didn't have that. They couldn't go and buy the gospel tracts. They couldn't go and get these here Bibles, the Word of God. And so the Lord led this ministry upon our hearts. And we, after graduating college in 99, I was 4 years there. And after graduating, we went over to America. We had no money. We were in college. We had no money at all. And don't worry, I'm not nearly finished. I'm only getting a drink of water. We had a beautiful white American car out there. And I thought this car was worth a lot of money. $3,000. That's what I thought it was worth. And I advertised this beautiful American car on the main highway. And I thought it'll be snapped up in no time. And after a month sitting there, nobody even looked at it. One of the other college guys, he offered me $1,700. And I was looking $3,000. So we had to kill him and bury him out the back. But no, I'm only joking. But we were praying. We had moved out of where we were living. We were now in a little caravan, a little two-berth caravan. And we had to leave, but we had no money. So we got on our knees, and we were praying one night. And I remember it like it was yesterday. We got on our knees, and we were praying, and all of a sudden, a man's name entered my head. He was a businessman, Christian businessman, that I had done a little bit of work with. And I says, right, I'm going to visit him. And I went that night, and I visited him. And he says, Garth, that's no problem. You come in the morning, and I'll give you the money. And so the next morning we arrived in, And he says, "Gareth, I've bad news for you." He says, "I've been ringing around. And the car's only worth about 1,800. And he said, "Maybe 2,000 at the most." And I was devastated. But I kept it inside. But then all of a sudden he says, "But don't worry, Gareth. I'll give you the extra $1,000. So we got what we wanted, and we left. We bought our tickets and we went over and we began the ministry back in 99. And so that's now 14 years. And the time has gone in really, really quick. You see, whenever you're young, you younger ones, not the older ones, the younger ones in high school or after high school, you think, "Oh, time's so long." No, it's not. It'll go like shoo, like that there after school. And you'll be saying, "My goodness, sir, I am an old person already." And you're not old. You're only my age. And you'll be feeling all bad. But anyway, but then we began the ministry. And what we basically do is we help the local churches. And these are the local churches. They will sing the hymns that are in your little book there. And they read your Bible in English. And we would give them the Bibles. We get in thousands of Bibles, and we give it all away free of charge. We don't charge anything. All the gospel tracts, we get most of our gospel tracts from different groups here in Northern Ireland, and then individuals give us Bibles as well, and other groups. And that's what we do out there. And then we also help with the buildings at times. Sometimes the pastors would come, and they would say, "Gareth, could you come and preach?" And you would say, "Okay." And you would go there, and the building wouldn't be like this building. This is a nice building for some of them. And it would be like an orchestra would be playing. And because it's in the middle of the rainy season, and it would be cling, clong, cling, clong, cling, because of the saucepans. Saucepans out. And so what do you do? I remember being, there was one time Reverend McMillan was over, and we were in this here little mission hut. And they had only bamboo up and plastic and tin. And there was only gravel on the ground. And but the man, the pastor there, he says, "Our building is not beautiful." He says, "But it is a place where souls are getting saved." And that's what it's all about. That's why this little hall is here. It's not for you to have a bit of crack. Well, that's part of it. But if you're here and you're not a Christian, the purpose is that you will become a Christian and that you will enjoy the fellowship of God's people. And so that's what we do. We've helped over 200 pastors and churches over the years. And we would value your prayers as we do go back. In a couple of months' time, the Lord has been burdening me about beginning our own church, and I would value your prayers for that especially. And as we're here now, we have left people in charge of the work over there, and there's people over there who would help us. And so the ministry is still going on. And now you know that the typhoon hit. Big typhoon hit there. In November time, they had winds of 280 miles an hour. Now, if they hit here, this hut wouldn't be here anymore. It would be long gone. I know there was a pastor that we know. And after the typhoon hit, there was a couple of groups and individuals, and they gave us money. They gave us, it was a total of maybe £1,500. And we sent that all out, and it's over there now helping. That money is helping the people. We've already helped move. There was two families who lost everything, and we helped them move to Manila and helped them with their everyday living. And they've lost everything. And I was talking to my cousin that was at a funeral, and I was talking to him, and he was asking me, "Well, what's it like? How is it?" I said, well, if you put it like this, or if I put it like this, If I lost everything and I couldn't go anywhere and I had no money and the government wasn't going to help me, and I would have to move in with you, and I'd bring my wife and my children, and you would have to look after me until I could get myself up and going again. And he said, I right. I said, aye, right, that is what happens. And that is, that's how it is out there. There were over 6,000 people killed because of that. There was winds at 280 miles an hour. There's a pastor that we know, he just opened his new church. And he lives in a poor area. He just opened the new church a month before the typhoon hit. And the typhoon hit and knocked half of it down. And he just put a curtain up in the middle of it, and the people are still meeting. And so that's what it is. So we would value your prayers. I'm sometimes people tell me, they say, Gareth, I don't believe that whenever you were a wee fella, you never talked, because now you never stop talking. And now I've just noticed my time's away gone, and this here takes about an hour. Don't be worrying, I'll waffle on quickly through it so you'll not be bored. But I do appreciate the opportunity. This here, hope it's interesting. Any questions, you can yell away. And or if you don't want to talk out in front of anybody, then you can come to me after it. So I hope you kind of know a little bit more about who I am. And we would value your prayers. Okay? All right. I'm told to stand on this and lift. I'd have to go higher. This guy here might break it. Well, this is a picture. We do have little prayer cards. If anyone would like one, just ask me at the end, and it'll help you to remember us. And that's the picture of my family, excuse me, there. And then in Tarlac. Now, Tarlac, where we live, is about 4 hours north of the capital, Manila. It has a population of about 1.5 million people. And it is a city. This is just on the outskirts of it with the rice paddies. And then we have the sugar cane plantations as well. And but people ask, what's the food like? Well, we do, in Tarlac, we have four McDonald's. So you're all right now, you know. If you don't like my food, go to McDonald's. So, and if you don't like one, you can go to another one. You have the Burger King, Pizza Hut, and all the rest of it. And so that's what we have. So this is a picture of the world, but everybody knows now where the Philippines is. Just above the equator, it gets bright in the morning at 5:30. And dark at 6 o'clock, and that's all year, never changes. And our temperatures would range, the coldest temperature would be maybe 25, that'd be the coldest. And then up to maybe 40, which is nice and warm. And then the humidity is very high as well, over 90%. So if this little hall was out there, you would need air conditioning, because you would be melting. If it wasn't, and sometimes it is, you will be sitting in church and the sweat's just dripping off onto your Bible. Drip, drip, drip. But you've no problem with that here. So this was back in 99 with the burden to help the local churches. And here's just one of the little open-air meetings in downtown Tarlac. Here's a couple of groups now. The group up on the left there, everybody can see at the back. Yeah, good lad. The group up at the top left there, they're going out on visitation, giving out gospel tracts. But this group at the bottom, I met them in a place called Estorias, a very poor little village. And there's a new wee church there. But these boys were hunting for lizards. Now, lizards, there's a lot of different lizards out in the Philippines. If this hall, if I could lift this hall and put it over in the Philippines, there would be little lizards crawling across the roof in the meeting. And the wee mosquitoes would be the whole time in the service. And but these little lizards eat the mosquitoes, so they're not going to bite you. But we have visitors who come over now and again, and I would always tell them at night time when they're lying in bed, I would say, now remember, keep your mouths closed. Because sometimes they fall, scare the life out of you. But in the building that we have a new building up now, and I have the mesh and all on the doors and windows and everything, and it keeps the insects out, and there's no insects in the building. But these little guys were hunting lizard, but they were looking for the big lizard, not the wee lizard. They were looking for this lizard, that boy there. And we had guys working for us whenever we were building, and one day they brought me this little lizard. Well, he's about a meter long, and he would bite, and he would take a lump out of you, and he would eat rats and snakes and that. And I thought we would cook it, and that's me over there with the knife. Well, I'm the only white guy there, and the other guy is called Gardo. And he's a good guy. He's called Gardo, and he looks like one of those Japanese fighters who hit Pearl Harbor. That's what I always told him. And yeah. That's all I got from him. But no, Gardo's a good man. But anyway, back over to the lizard here with the knife. We had to cut the neck of the lizard, right, and drain the blood out. And then we lit a little fire. And we were burning off all the scales on him. We were burning that and holding him while he was still fighting. And I thought, this is a good opportunity for a picture. And that's me smiling. But he wasn't dead. After the picture, he put his neck up like that to me. So we had to chop him up then. And so he made nice, he was nice. It kind of tasted a wee bit like chicken. And so there you go. But anyway, I'll zip on. So here's the prison ministries. Very different now to the prisons here, of course. This was me at a house meeting. I was preaching at this house meeting. And while I was preaching, I noticed here in this wall, there was a big poster of Michael Jordan, the basketball player. And then another one here, Batman, up here. And they kept on taking my picture. And I says, well, I hope next time I come back, my picture's up too. But they don't know what they thought of me. But we had a good time there. There was the roosters crowing and the dogs barking and all the rest. I have a neighbour who breeds fighting roosters because they can fight out there. It's not illegal. And but my neighbour has got 30 fighting roosters. And now you can hear one rooster. And he would crow, and you get 30, and whenever one crows, all of them crow. So they would crow at about 11 o'clock at night, and then at about 4 o'clock in the morning, and then all day as well. And so you get 40 of those, it's nice and noisy, but you get used to it after a while. And but you have that there, and then during the rainy season where we live, it's in a little village, but there's open areas as well. And then whenever it would rain hard in the rainy season, we would get maybe 28 of the typhoons every year. And whenever it would rain hard, you could have maybe 2 feet of water, and the roads would flood, and then it would be in the houses and everything. But you get a lot of frogs as well. And we also eat frogs. And now you have to be careful which one you get. Now, there's a couple of different kind. But the ones that take the wee hops like this are poisonous. The ones that take the big hop are the ones you can eat. So if you're thinking of going home tonight and hunting for frogs, the big hop one you can eat. And again, put the knife down on his head and just pull off the skin like a glove. And then you gut him. And then you put your mince and your onions and garlic in the inside his wee belly. And then you put him in the oil in the frying pan. And, it's really tasty. But never give the bones to the dogs because the bones are too hard. And so that's the way, that's what we... Now, we don't eat that all the time. Of course, yeah, like, you know... You don't have what? Right, we'll move on now. here's some of the wee children's meetings here, holding up the material there that we give them, the lessons and the posters. And as you can see, they don't have much. Now, this is just out in the province area. In the countryside, they don't have much money, but they are very happy with the wee children's meetings. Here's some of the schools getting Bibles. Here's a deaf ministry that come get and get the Bibles off us as well, and other material. There's some of the pastors coming. There's missionaries who have come from Cambodia and Vietnam. And we had neighbors emigrate to New Zealand, and every time they come back, they would bring gospel tracts and Bibles with them for the church out in New Zealand. And and here's just a picture of our property that we have. There was a group of young people up for meetings. And this is the man down here at the bottom. This man down here, this is Pastor Jezer. He's the one that half of his church got blew down. And but he's always a very happy man. And he'll be sending me more pictures, exactly just what where all the money went to. And but that's just some of the pastors here. More pastors coming. This is the main form of transport, the little tricycle. And then there's a little motorbike at the other side of that there. And you would load that up with as much as possible. But I remember way back at the beginning, we didn't have a car. And we were using these here all the time. And we were getting our groceries one day. And the water came up. And you see where those boxes are? The water was as high as the top of those boxes. And you're driving through the roads. And your feet up like this here. And the water coming all in around you. But I remember then, a couple of years ago, it was the last time we were out, I was overtaken, and it was in the rainy season, and I was overtaken on the inside, but there was one of these on the outside in the water, and it was just like a wave just went right inside the tricycle, and I could hear the yells of the people inside it. They were soaked, and so I had to get away as quick as possible. So they wouldn't know it was me. But anyway, there's more. This is just a Bible college van. These people came from a Bible college. And we were visiting at the college. And there was only maybe 20 books. There was only maybe two rows of books in a Bible college with 20 men. And so I was burdened to help them. And we gave them over 200 books. And there have been maybe eight other colleges that we've helped with books as well. And there's a picture. If you see my dog, that's my wee white, you know, there in the picture, there's a white dog there. We had him from 99, and but he died this year or just last year. So it wasn't very good news that we heard. So if anybody has a wee dog here, look after him. And but anyway, I just thought I would share that with you. There's more tricycles coming, more pastors coming and getting the material. And here we have another group of pastors coming. This here group in the middle, they arrived, they texted me. There was one morning they texted me at 5:30 in the morning. Who gets up at that time in the morning? Well, I normally don't get up at that time in the morning. I would be more of a night person. And I could be awake all night, no problem, and then go to bed. But anyway, these guys texted me at 5:30 in the morning. And they said, "Brother, we're here." I said, "Where?" "At your gate." So they had left at 11 o'clock at their place in Cavite. And they drove all night, and they made it earlier because of less traffic. And so they were there getting their material. And they were all very, very happy getting their all of their material. This man here at the bottom left there that I have my arm around, wearing also a blue t-shirt. His church was maybe as big as this here. And he had a door like that at one end and a door at the other end. And his church is near the river. This is a couple of years ago. And in the church he had his pews, he had his pulpit, his little organ, and his motorcycle inside the church, because they keep them inside the church so that nobody will nick it, you know. And so he had it in everything in there. And at night time, middle of the night, the river burst its banks. It came in through one door and out the other door and took everything with it. He was left with this much mud. That's all was left in his church. And he came up with me a month later after digging all that out and had to begin all over again. And again, no, out there, there's no insurance on the buildings or anything like that, and usually you just have to get on with it. But he was up with me a month later, and he was telling me all about it. And he was telling me, and he said, "Praise the Lord. It's a good opportunity to go out and witness." Now, if a river near here burst its banks and wiped everything out and you were covered in mud, you would maybe be like me and maybe think, "I don't know if the Lord still wants us here. He might have closed the door for us to do that." But he was, "Praise the Lord, it's a good opportunity to get out and witness." So that's just how they are. They're very happy, very positive people. Here's more, another ministry that we help with, and that's with youth camps. You know, whenever I was younger in the churches, we would go on holidays, youth holidays, and that's just like that. And because people don't have the money, they don't go on holidays like they do here, their church would organize a retreat away for maybe half a week, and the whole church would go, and they would meet up with other churches. And you could have maybe 500 people at one of these camps. And but it's a real opportunity, because it's real good fun and games and all the rest of it, and a lot of Bible teaching and an emphasis of the Lord's work and the ministry. And it was actually at a camp like this where my wife gave her life over to the Lord. And they would bring their little tents, or if they don't have a tent, they'd bring plastic and put it up. But I remember being at one of these here one year, and they put me into a room, a bedroom, but there was no air conditioning, and it was hot. It was over 40 degrees, I'll tell you. It was wicked hot, and they gave me an industrial fan at my feet, and this thing was blowing hot air, oven air nearly, at my face. The whole night long, this hurricane was blowing in my bedroom. And I said to my wife, I said, "I cannot stick. This is mental." And so we went and lay in the car for the rest of the week. Couldn't stick it, so the car was going. And but you had to waken up every 2 hours to check it wasn't overheating. And but well, at least we got a bit of a night's sleep. But it's real good fun whenever you have it. And then if you can rent a place that has a pool, then that's even better. So this is the property that we put up. This is the building. It was a lot of work, a lot of manual labor. And I was in charge of everything with it. I did have an architect who did up the all the plans and the permits and everything, helped me with that. And but it was all, there's no wood in the building. We don't have any wood. You couldn't have wood like this, because the termites would eat it all. And so it all has to be done with block. And then every meter you have to put a rod in it of metal. Every meter this way, up and down, horizontal, vertical, it has to be all tied and interlocked because of the earthquakes. We get earthquakes as well. And but whenever we were doing the floor for the upstairs, we began at 5:30 in the morning, and we didn't quit until 4:00 the next afternoon. Next day afternoon. So you can imagine that was over, what was it, maybe 30 odd hours of labor. And we had a one bag mixer. That's my little mixer at the bottom. It's actually gone now to Manila. It's the way to build a church there now. But this little one bag mixer, and we used 500 bags of cement that night or that day. And it was very hard, because they would mix it and we would have to put it up by hand. And you would get a little bucket like this here, and they would put this much in the little bucket. But whenever you're doing that for 30 hours, you're wrecked. And it was like that there the whole night long. You were just up and down like that there. But we got it done eventually. But it was on that night, the very first night we were doing that, the men were exhausted and hungry. And I says, "Right, come on, we'll go to a little restaurant." This is the picture of the restaurant at the bottom, a little bamboo restaurant. All you can eat food, all you can eat for £2. Now, I can eat that food, no problem. All you can eat buffet there, no problem. I can manage it. But if I were to bring you over to it and you were to go in and eat it now, you might have a problem for a couple of days, but then you'll be all right again. but don't worry about it. That's a common occurrence. But anyway, we were there, and the men were eating. Now, these were just, there were builders out there. They don't have a lot of money. I was paying them just the normal wage. But they have a lot of, problems at home with money and all the rest of it. And they would never go to a place like this. And they were eating and eating and eating and eating and eating and drinking orange juice, not anything else. Drinking the orange juice. And they were loving it, having a really good old time. But the ones who were working there, the manager of the place, didn't really like it because they were eating far too much food. And they actually, I don't know, they might have closed early that night with us there. But anyway, we were there, and boys, it was such a mistake. It was a big mistake, because whenever we arrived back, I was thinking, we have about another 400 bags of cement to do. And they were, I can't, like after your Christmas dinner, you don't want to start into hawking cement. And so we got the coffee, and we got them up and going. And but praise the Lord, we have the building up. We had winds just before the big typhoon hit there in November. In October, we had a typhoon hit us of 180 mile an hour winds, and we had no damage done on the building at all. So I can put that rating of 180 mile an hour, no damage. We did have a tree, big old, tree at the gate, and it blew down. And then my two neighbours had these mango trees in their gardens, and they both landed on their houses. And so we were blessed that we had no damage with the building at all. Excuse me. So right, I'll move on. Here is just more of the ministry. We value your prayers, because we have to go to Manila and pick up the material. The material would arrive in Manila and then go to a warehouse there, and then we have to go down and pick it up. Now it's it could be maybe a 10 to 15 hour day, running down and doing that. And we would load the car up. Our car, it wouldn't be just as big as it. Well, it would be like a little Jeep, and we would load it up. I've had about a ton of Bibles in it, and but the problem with that, whenever I had the ton of Bibles, it was like that. And it wasn't like that, it was like that. And we could only do 40 mile an hour on the motorway. And every bump I had to go over it slowly, because it was hitting the ground. And so we do need a vehicle. I remember I was doing a meeting in Belfast in a little church. And I was talking about, if you remember back a couple of pictures, about the one I was talking about with the posters. You remember that there picture? Well, that picture is blurred. And the guy who works with me, he took it. And he's a terrible, terrible photographer. And I actually put my camera on the timer. And I would say, hold it. And he still shakes the thing. But anyway, the man came up after, because I mentioned I think I need a tripod. And he came up and he says, I have a tripod, I'll give it to you. But I'm still waiting for it. But anyway, I need, so now I would mention that we need a vehicle. So if anyone here would like to give me a vehicle, then you can give me a vehicle as well. And but no, don't worry about it. But we would value your prayers for the ministry, with the needs of the ministry, with the needs of the Bibles. We do need a lot of Bibles, and a lot of Bibles. They're like nearly gold bars out there with the pastors. And it's the same Bible that you use. It's the King James Bible. And in English, and we would value your prayers, especially for the needs of the ministry. So this is another little church called Estorias, a little mission church that we helped get up and going last time we were home. And while I was preaching there, I was preaching at the anniversary service. And while I was preaching there, that's it in the top left there. There's all the people eating. After an anniversary, they would have a meal and everybody would be eating well. And it gets a lot of people in. But while I was preaching there, I've never had it happen to me before. While I was preaching, the congregation was here. And by the time I was done preaching, they were there. I started preaching, they were here. I was looking at them. And all the time I was preaching, they were moving across to the other side. And I was going, man, that was how the Spirit moved in Gareth's meetings. Only joking. I'll not do that, only joking. That's not how it's done, okay? What happened was the sun was coming in here. It was in the afternoon. I didn't preach that long. No, I'm not that long. And the sun came in and it was too hot. And they had to move their chairs over one over little by little. And that's how we got on that day. So, well, we don't have that problem here. But anyway, here we have, this is the last slide, then of a two-minute video. It's just a roundup of the work, this little video. But this verse really means a lot, you know, to us. The pastors come to me and they say, "Brother, you're the only place that we can come and get this material." And, you know, that's encouraging. You know, there's many, many little independent works out there. They're mostly independent Baptist churches. There are no big denominations. But it's just the independent Baptist, you know, works everywhere. And they're coming to me and they're saying, we're praying that the Lord will keep you here. And we're praying for the people and the churches that make it possible for us to be there. And it is encouraging to have them tell us that there. But this is just a roundup of all the pictures and everything that has been going on. And I'll just head on now to the video. It's a couple of minutes. Once the video is...